What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to take another phone call from Francis in North Carolina. Aloha, Francis. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello to you both.
Aloha.
I've got an odd question for you. In light of what the various media outlets are online and regular life and so forth and so on, they're in business for whatever reason it is, I got a question for you. Why deny them, whether it's the social media, the pharmaceutical industry, the biotech industry, the military industrial complex, or whatever have you, from treating the everyday person as a willing ATM machine? Why deny them that?
Because I don't want to be an ATM machine.
Well, I'm asking that sarcastically, because that's exactly what they are treating the everyday person as. Unless
yes.
The everyday person actually wakes up and realizes, I'm getting screwed. But they're not. A lot of people are, but not everyone has. So until people actually realize that they're actually being used for that, then they'll finally get a clue and say, oh, crap, you know. So I just thought I'd ask that sarcastically because I observe that every day, and I'm like, sometimes I'll have a chance to actually ask somebody about that, you know, and they're like, you know, you got a point there. I'm like, I wish I didn't. So thanks a lot.
We've been talking. You got it. Thank you very much for the phone call. We've been pointing out how as the economy tightens and as we descend into fascism, the attitude of corporations and government is whatever you can sell them as long as it's making money. And that's why we have medicines that don't heal and in some cases make us sick. We have products that wear out way too quickly. It's all about just harvesting money. Where the system breaks down, though, is when ordinary working people don't have the money to be harvested. And that's where we are right now. When we look at that article about McDonald's, which went back on their promise for pay hikes, and their employees can't live on the money they're making there, which means they certainly don't have anything left over to go into the stores and shopping malls. And that's where it's all starting to collapse here. And let's see, there was a story here about mall vacancies reaching a 6-year high as retail slump batters local economies. And again, if all the money is crammed up there at the top, the one percenters, the consumer economy is going to collapse. Those one percenters, there's not enough of them to support a national consumer economy. They're not going to buy 1,000 TV sets each. They're only going to buy one, maybe two. Going on back to George Herbert Walker Bush, we started to see this transition where the American people were made to cover losses for foreign investors. That's what the SNL bailout was all about. Bush was sending a message to other countries. We are now a fascist economy. You can safely invest your money here. And if you make money, you can keep it. And if you lose money, the people will be forced to cover it, because that is exactly how fascism works economically. And there have been several more demonstrations since then. And we've seen this incredible growing wealth inequality. But we've reached the point now where there is so little money in circulation in the middle, and especially the working class, the consumer economy is collapsing. We reported it earlier in the show. In the last quarter of last year, consumer spending was the backbone of the gross domestic product report because of the holiday shopping season. This first quarter, not going to be there. And as the economy gets even tighter, it's going to get even more predatory. Now, apparently over in the Observer, they're claiming that Cambridge Analytica harvested data from 50 million Facebook accounts. They found that Cambridge Analytica's Alexander Kogan collected data from 270,000 accounts and was able to access data from all their friends, on average 185 users per account, making up the total of 50 million. This does seem to add up. Now, the Guardian app's privacy policy reveals they also collect data from your Facebook account and the accounts of all your friends. This data includes your name, profile picture, gender, networks, user ID, and any other information you choose to share according to your Facebook account settings. So, and it's been happening for years. Now, I don't know about you, but even back in the heyday of Usenet and Unix, I never put personal information out there online. That was just dumb. And especially young people today have to be told, you have to avoid the temptation to feel that you're engaged in a deeply personal conversation with the other person on the other side of that net. Basically, you're in a crowded room and everybody is watching what you do and listening to everything that you say, and you should conduct yourself appropriately. All right, we're going to do a shout out now for our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. And once again, our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Article out of Natural News talking about how Google is trying to push what they call the final solution to independent media, to get rid of the independent media here on the web. And basically, Google plans to invest $300 million into a new algorithm that, for all intents and purposes, threatens to permanently destroy the independent news industry. Known as the Google News Initiative, the program will redirect advertising dollars back to mainstream publishers and away from many up-and-coming news outlets that have broken free from the Wall Street propaganda machine. Google is saying it will begin to work with publishers to elevate accuracy, meaning the official story, quality content, and stem the flow of misinformation and disinformation, which is just code speak for censorship. We in the independent media have taken away corporate media and the government's ability to lie to you, the public, with impunity. They want it back. But if they think that shutting down the independent media is going to return you all to being naive, trusting, gullible fools overnight, it's not going to happen. It will be decades before the American people have gotten over lies about Saddam Hussein's nuclear weapons or Assad's sarin gas. The polls are showing it. Trust in the corporate media and the government is at an all-time record low. And silencing or trying to silence the independent media is not going to change that. Now, apparently, 2 weeks ago, the city of Atlanta's municipal government was hit with a crippling ransomware attack that has wiped out millions of government files and left the city's police and first responders relying on paper record keeping. And so far, the city has made almost no progress in recovering their files. Police still don't have access to vital databases and investigative files. The town's auditor says the city books have been destroyed, aside from whatever's left in the paper record. And top city officials were scrambling through this holiday weekend to try and piece together bits of city projects from personal computers and email addresses that weren't affected by the hack. Almost every government department was hit by the ransomware, though fortunately 10 of the 18 machines in the city's auditor's office somehow avoided the hack. Okay, where is the National Security Agency in all of this? Aren't they supposed to be the experts at protecting America's IT infrastructure? Isn't that what they get all the money for? Isn't that why they have all these data centers? I mean, this government seems to think it can win a war on terror. It can't even track down the ransomware writers and the hackers. Every time there's another one of these ransomware attacks, it proves the impotence of the U.S. federal government to actually run this country in a manner that is in the best interest of the American people. Cybercrime is rampant. Scams are rampant. Phone scams are rampant. It's open season on the American people, and this government is unable or unwilling to try and do anything about it. Now, health and fitness tracking app Under Armour has had a data security breach, and information on 150 million of their users has been compromised. Now, I imagine in this day and age that pretty much everybody is using as much computer security as they can. But we keep hearing about all these hardware problems embedded in the actual chips. We have to wonder, is this some little mandated NSA backdoor? And are the cyber criminals finding and exploiting these NSA mandated backdoors? We know a lot of NSA and CIA hacking tools were leaked out onto the dark web. Talk about Frankenstein's monster. CIA and NSA created these horrible cyber weapons, and now they're being directed against the American people. Or alternatively, are CIA and NSA the cyber criminals? Have they turned these intelligence agencies into the online version of the civil forfeiture laws to plunder the American people by a desperately broke and hopelessly in debt government? There's been a huge credit card heist, apparently involving multiple stores, higher-end stores, Saks Fifth Avenue, Lord & Taylor. The breach was first discovered by cybersecurity firm Gemini Advisory and was later confirmed by the Hudson's Bay Company, one of Canada's largest retail groups with a specific focus on the luxury market. The Hudson's Bay Company owns Saks Fifth Avenue, Saks Off Fifth, and Lord & Taylor. So it's just wide out there. Part of the problem is we've made these systems too complex. They're too difficult to understand. That's why it's too difficult to protect them against the hackers. The hacker's full-time job is figuring out ways in. Everybody else, we've got other jobs that we're doing. Running a Lord & Taylor's, running a Saks Fifth Avenue, running a website, doing a radio show. The hackers, all they do all day and night long is figure out ways to get into your data and steal it and sell it. And again, where is the NSA in all of this? Aren't they actually able to do the job that we're told they're doing? Or how about the FBI? All of these hacks cross state lines. That pulls it right into FBI jurisdiction. We'll hear about one hacker getting arrested maybe once every, what, 5-6 months? Story out of Blacklisted News. Apparently, the Fifth Circuit Appeals Court is saying that it is okay for the police to use the E911 service to perform warrantless real-time tracking. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, several years ago, the U.S. government mandated all cell phones have a GPS chip in them. And the first couple of years, the end user couldn't even access the chip. But it was there to support what was called E911, where if you called 911 from your cell phone, the police and fire department would know where you were, which sounded like a good idea. And of course, today that GPS is available for your mapping, location services, and so forth. But that E911 service is still in there. But apparently, the police are using it to basically see where you are. They'll simply contact your phone over the cell system, and your phone will obediently tell them where you are on the surface of planet Earth. And it is warrantless surveillance, but apparently the Fifth Circuit Appeals Court says it's fine. It's absolutely fine. You have no right to privacy of where you're going, and I resent that. Because I don't want the police to know I stopped at a donut shop on the way home from work and had a jelly donut. It's none of their business. That Fourth Amendment is one of the most important rights in the Bill of Rights. It says the police can't just look at you and watch you to see if you're doing something wrong. They have to know by evidence, by testimony under oath, that you're engaged in something criminal. Then they can come on in and invade your privacy. And we're losing that. Our entire Bill of Rights is under attack. Now, over in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, Julian Assange has been cut off from the net. And apparently, because of his critical tweets about the recent detention of Catalan President Carlos Puigdemont in Germany and pressure from the U.S., Spanish, and British governments, the Ecuadorian government has installed an electronic jammer to stop Assange communicating with the outside world over the internet or over the phone. I presume they're jamming the cell phone and Wi-Fi signals. Now, 27 writers, journalists, filmmakers, artists, academics, former intelligence officers, and Democrats have called on the government of Ecuador in an open letter signed by them all to allow Julian Assange his right of freedom of speech. Because we cannot tolerate any voice for truth and freedom being silenced. It's a threat to us all. If they get away with it with Julian Assange, they'll say, well, hey, we need to do it to these other people. We need to do it to John Stadmiller. We need to do it to Michael Herzog. We need to do it to Michael Rivero. They're saying things we don't like. Well, you can't have freedom of speech and not hurt some people's feelings, especially those who've got something to hide. The liberals go around saying they want an offense-free environment. That's impossible if you have freedom of speech. If you're out there telling the truth, somebody somewhere is not going to like it. And this idea of political correctness, that we should voluntarily silence ourselves out of concern that somebody in the billions of people living on this planet might suffer a microaggression from what we say, then we've already surrendered to this dystopian future. We have to preserve freedom of speech. We have to be able to stand up and say back to the corporate TV networks, you're not telling the truth. We have to be able to say to David Hogue, what you're claiming about the NRA is nonsense. We have to be able to say to the government of Israel, your treatment of the Palestinians is an abomination and a war crime. Because that's what freedom of speech is all about. It's not about art on a wall with bovine feces or strip clubs or any of that other stuff. It is about the right to criticize government about what they are doing. All right, we're going to take a phone call here. Laura in Michigan, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Earlier in the broadcast, you were talking about a man with a mustache that had killed many people. I wonder if you're talking about Stalin, Lenin, or Trotsky, or Gingrich Yagoda.
They'd all fit in, but none of them had a Charlie Chaplin mustache.
People always want to pick on Adolf Hitler, which is fine, but you forget about the millions and millions of Christian people in Russia that were killed by Stalin and all them.
It's a valid point. You raise a valid point. My issue was that all of these billionaires who are out there saying that we need to kill off part of the world's population, they're operating from the same moral place as a Stalin or a Pol Pot or an Adolf Hitler or any other tyrant that just says, I don't like these people being around. I'm going to kill them off.
I just wish more people would not always just talk about Adolf Hitler, because they need to be reminded that these people killed millions, facilitated the deaths of millions and millions of people. And Gingrich Yagoda, nobody knows his name. He's credited with killing more people single-handedly than anybody else ever had. Nobody even knows his name.
Well, I guess he didn't succeed in getting into the history books with it. But your point is valid with any of these tyrants. And my point is that those who presume to stand up and say, because I have money, that I can decide who lives, who dies, who has children, who does not, they're coming from exactly that same moral place of assuming a godhead and control over the lives of other people.
Yep. Okay, thank you. I just wanted to try to bring that in.
All right. Well, your point is valid, and I could have gone with Stalin, but I don't know how to describe his mustache. All right. Well, listen, Laura, we're going to let you go. It's time for us to take another commercial break. And when we come on back, we've got another caller waiting on the line. So stay tuned.
Extendivite. A seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. I'm looking at my email box, and somebody wrote on in appreciating Francis' call and saying, maybe we need T-shirts that say, no, I do not self-identify as an ATM machine. I could go with that. All right, let's go back to the telephones now. Joe in California. Aloha, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? We lost him. Okay, well, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, and I could use a few phone calls to finish out the program here. Now, believe it or not, NASA has been receiving a response from the Voyager 1 spacecraft 13 billion miles away after 37 years of inactivity. And basically, they were able to revive Voyager and start to use what were called the backup micro thrusters to get it to align to point the high gain antenna back to Earth. And they basically came up with a solution. And they gave the job of orientation to a set of thrusters that had been asleep for 37 years. And that is amazing. And it does show that if you really want to, you can make something that lasts for 37 years. And now they're saying that they can actually get meaningful data from Voyager for at least another 3 years. Now, the reason that that is important, obviously, it's not going to pass any more planets, but it's out there past what is called the heliopause. It is actually in interstellar space. And it's sending back observations from its instruments, obviously not the cameras, as well as its orbit is being very carefully tracked along with that of Voyager 2 to see if there is any hidden mass out there. And apparently there are some perturbations in their trajectories that suggest something else might be out there. Now, of course, every once in a while we'll have the so-called 10th planet search, or now that Pluto's been demoted, the 9th planet search, because it's been known for a long time that the orbits of the known planets aren't exactly the way they ought to be if there was no other influence out there. And so there's always been talk of a large super Jovian planet out there orbiting our sun. But there might be another possibility. I'm going to engage in a little speculation here. And that has to do with what is called the so-called background radiation from the Big Bang. Now, as you probably know, I do not agree with the theory of the Big Bang. I think it's got all kinds of holes in it. But there was a satellite sent up called COBE, which went on up to measure the cosmic background radiation. And it did find a background radiation there. But whereas the theory of the Big Bang theorized a smooth, featureless glow, COBE found a very convoluted, highly detailed radiation field surrounding us on all sides. And so everybody said, well, that's got to be it. There's no other explanation. But there might be. There might be, and it goes back to the idea that sometimes stars exist in what are called binary pairs. Now, the conventional wisdom is that a close binary will not support solar systems because the gravity of the partner star will pull the planets away from, they'll pull planets away from each other. But if the two binaries are far enough apart, then the perturbations are going to be much, much reduced. So what I theorize may be out there is going to be much larger and much further away than the hypothesized ninth planet. It's the dead core of a once exploded star that used to be a partner with our sun, and it's still there. They're still orbiting each other. And what we are being told is the cosmic background radiation is actually the remains of a very old, distended, diffuse planetary nebula that formed around our twin stars from that explosion, which would also explain why so much of our solar system looks like it's been hit with a shotgun. All right. We still have another minute to go. So great that Voyager is doing this. Boy, does that make me feel old? Because when I was at JPL, I did a little bit of work on Voyager right after I finished up with Viking. And has it really been that long? Oh, my goodness. So anyway, well done, Voyager, and great to see that it's still going on. And sometimes these things really do just do very, very well out there, and they outperform. That's what happened with Viking. They were never expected to last beyond 256 pictures of the surface and instead got over 4,000. So sometimes you just get lucky. And I do support Trump's desire for a renewed space program, not because I love outer space and space exploration and want to see flags of the United States flying over the planets, but because we need a civilian technology incubator to regain our lead in industry and technology. We're going to take a break for commercials. Please call in and join us on the air, 800-312-9443. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. The phone lines are loading up. Let's start with Peter in Los Angeles. Aloha, Peter. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, Mike, when you were talking about the NSA possibly, and I would tell you likely being involved, at least being involved in cybercrime by non-intervention at the very least. But active intervention is even more likely. But one can also not discount the fact that, you know, the country with the most moral army in the world has just spent about, you know, several hundred million dollars coming up with cyber people to online ghosts and all these people and shills and so on. And they may very well be the people like attacking your server. Or, of course, they can do cyber crime as well. They've got all of our emails, all of our accounts. They've got everything. What better way to shut up BDS than to, you know, do a bunch of cyber crimes against people who believe in BDS? But, you know, they're the only country, of course, the only religion with their own nuclear weapons and their own secret service and several central banks. And, you know, what can you say?
Well, getting on back to NSA possibly being the cyber criminals, Kaspersky basically claimed to have identified the Hacker Collective Equation Group as being part of the NSA. So, yeah, it does look like that's possible. And it may be that NSA justifies it saying, well, we have to be hackers before we can learn how to defend against hackers. That was Israel's rationale for recruiting hackers for their latest effort as well.
I think it's likely, Mike. And by the way, how about a huge no comment on the 1,000 or 1,500 wounded and 18 or whatever dead there are from American media?
Well, Fox News, believe it or not, just ran a story, they balanced it. They said there are conflicting accounts as to what happened from the Israeli and Palestinian side, and that's a far cry from the New York Slimes, which simply took the Israel position as if we should accept it without question.
Exactly. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate everything you do, man.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Frank in North Carolina. Aloha, Frank. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, aloha. Yes. I just wanted to report quickly on a story that I saw in my local news, something that happened apparently over the weekend. It was a little march. I have no idea how many people. It might have been as few as 50 or even less, or it could have been more. I don't know. But it was in support of DACA, you know, and
yes.
it looked like most of the people involved were Hispanic, Latino, whatever. But it happened here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And there was some guy who, as they were marching down the sidewalk, I guess, in front of his residence, he opened his door and stood in his doorway. He didn't come out, you know, he didn't approach them or to confront them or anything, but he stood, I guess, quietly in his doorway. And I'm sure you can go on and look this up on the Internet. It happened in the Plaza Midwood area of Charlotte, North Carolina. And that's Plaza Midwood, M-I-D-W-O-O-D. It's kind of a mixed area right there. But anyway, he stood in the doorway with, it was a white male, appeared to be completely by himself, had on jeans and some type of a black shirt. His face is blotted out. And he's holding in his hand an AR-15 with collapsible stock, short barrel. He's holding it with one hand sort of away from his body slightly. The muzzle is pointing straight up, okay? And he's holding it in one hand. And he's flipping them the bird, the middle finger, with the other hand, and they blotted that out too, but I'm assuming that's what it was. But anyway, that was his protest to their march. They called the police and everything, and the reason that I'm calling it in and reporting it is it's pretty remarkable. There was no arrest made. They said since he was not pointing the rifle at anyone, he didn't break any laws, so they basically let him get away with it. I would have thought that they would have come up with some kind of charges, but I just thought your listeners would find that interesting.
The letter of the law, he was handling the weapon in a safe manner, although were I in that position, rather than pointing the barrel up, I'd have the barrel pointed down to the ground in case of an accidental discharge, you know the bullet's not going to go anywhere. But yes, he's on his own property. He's inside his own home. He's not presenting a threat. There really isn't a reason for him to be arrested. And as far as DACA is concerned, you're right. These protests are all by the illegal immigrants, and I don't understand why Immigration and Customs Enforcement doesn't go down to all these DACA marches and simply round up these people. And check them for their citizenship or residency documents. It is really out of control. But as of early today, apparently concerned about this caravan of illegal immigrants who are going to try and punch through the border in Texas, Trump has said no deal on DACA. No deal on them as well. If these people are hurt because their parents brought them here illegally, it is the parents' responsibility and not that of the United States government. And I'm sure the liberals are going to be screaming and crying about that one. Reminds me of when Jesse Ventura was in governor, and he basically there were these young unmarried women with children who were protesting, demanding the state government give them some kind of support so that they could go to school instead of working while they had their children. And Ventura came on out and said, "You made choices in your life. Why is this any of the state's business?" And, of course, the liberals hated him for that one. But this whole nanny state thing has just gone completely overboard. But again, getting on back to that individual, it's not something I would have considered doing. But he is within the letter of the law. As long as the weapon is not pointing at somebody, that would be felony brandishment. But as long as he's handling the weapon in a safe way, he's making a statement. And his being there is, in fact, protected by the First Amendment right to freedom of expression.
I just had an afterthought unrelated to my original report. Just based on what you're saying, you know, in my lifetime, my parents have had to pay for mistakes that I've made, one way or another, you know. And I've had to pay for mistakes that my parents made. Some of them when I was very young and had very little control over my life. I'm not saying anything significant, and I'm not whining or complaining. I mean, I really can't complain too much. But I'm just saying, you know, we all have to pay for mistakes that our parents make, bad decisions, and vice versa. So why is it that some group of people doesn't have to pay for the mistakes their parents made?
Well, yeah, you're welcome. We're at the bread and circuses phase. If you can get a big enough crowd screaming about something, the government will cave on in. Certainly the liberal government will cave on in because they want your votes. And we need more Jesse Venturas out there saying, look, there's a proper role for government, and this is not it. And I'm sorry that these people were brought to the United States illegally by their parents, but that is the parents' responsibility. And it does not give these children a right to be here just because they were children when they came here. They are still illegal immigrants, regardless of what age and how they came here. And they should be treated exactly the same as any other illegal immigrant. They should be deported and required to go through the legal immigration process if they really want to live here. All right, back to the phones. John in Austin, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael.
Hi.
I heard you mention the pirate radio stations in the UK one day last week, and I tried calling in, but I couldn't get through. And then at the end of the broadcast, I realized that was your sick day off, and that was a repeat. So, but if you wouldn't mind, I'd like to just say a couple of things about that. Is that all right?
Sure.
Yeah, it just when I heard you say that, it just brought a bunch of memories flooding back. The station in question was an outfit called Radio Caroline, and they broadcast off this ship parked out in the North Sea. And as you said, they had to keep moving. Now, we also had another radio station that broadcast out of Luxembourg then, because the BBC, for some reason, just didn't want to play the modern music of the time, and it caused a lot of controversy. And it wasn't until 1967, and I think the Beatles had their first hit record in 1962, and by the time 1967 rolled along, we had a lot of the top bands established then, you know, like the Rolling Stones and the Who and the Kinks and what have you. So, and I just, while I was sitting here, I just remembered the controversy it caused. A lot of people were very upset about it. And what we had to do, I was working in a factory at the time, and we got to listen to Radio 1 for about 2 hours of the day, and the rest of the day, well, what the BBC did was they created a new formula, actually. They brought out Radio 1, Radio 2, Radio 3, and Radio 4. And Radio 1 was the station that played the pop music of the day and so on. So, yeah, you just brought back those memories, man. It got me quite chuffed.
Well, what it was is that the British government wanted to sort of protect the existing music industry against what they saw were a bunch of kids in garages that were a threat to the profit of the established order. But then after the Beatles came along and all these other British bands, the British government realized, hey, we can make more money with this stuff than the old stuff. And they turned around and embraced it. And of course, Britain's public image today is that they're one of the founding homes of rock and roll.
There you go, yeah. Let me tell you right quick before I go then. Talking about the Palestine issue, there was a small protest in Edinburgh, Scotland on Saturday there, outside the Scottish government offices. Now, that's a practice that is allowed without police intervention, as long as there's not a disturbance being caused. And there was only a handful of people there, and the police came along and asked them to move, and of course the people weren't very pleased. And I just sat there watching it, wondering, Why is it you can protest anything else at that location, but when it comes to Israel, it's a no-no? That's absolutely disgusting. Anyway, they refuse to move.
Yes.
Joe,
hi,
share that with you.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that. Anything else?
No, that's it, mate. Cheers.
All right, thanks a lot. We're going to switch over to Mike in Brazil. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Mike. First, I need to make a comment on you had an earlier caller by the name of Laura several calls ago, and
yes.
She was concerned as with the reason why no television network like History Channel, Discovery, or National Geographic ever touches the subject of Joseph Stalin having murdered more than 40 million Russians, at least. That's a very crude estimate. Well, the reason is very simple why they failed to mention his name. First of all, because Joseph Stalin, as his name implies, actually his name was Joseph Vissarionovich Stalin, okay? That's his name. Okay. Stalin was a nickname because he was called the Man of Steel, and he killed anybody. He was a ruthless killer. And first of all, he was Jewish. This is the primary reason why they don't mention his name. The same thing like with Vladimir Lenin. He was Jewish too. The entire Stalin secret police was made up of Jews, all of them. Some people say that was 100%. Some people put the number to 95%. But anyway, the two most feared commissars of Joseph Stalin were Yagoda and Kaganovich, Mikhail Kaganovich. They were the two most brutal murderers that Soviet Union has ever seen. So to make a long story short, the reason none of the networks or newspapers or the media in general mentioned his name, because it's a strong connection between Judaism, although he was an atheist, all of them were, communists requires you to be an atheist, and basically because they were Jewish and tied to the Jews. Stalin was born in the state of Georgia, in Russia, so he was Jewish, so was Stalin. And so the second thing I was going to comment on is, why is it that malware never seems to hit
Okay, Mike, we seem to have a very bad line here. You're breaking up. Could you maybe talk a little closer to the microphone and see if that makes things better?
Yeah, sure. I'm sorry about it. Yeah, we have a bad connection. But no, I hope you got my my comment on Joseph Stalin. Because, well,
yes.
To repeat in case that you didn't hear what I said, the guy was born in Georgia. He was a Georgian Jew. And Vladimir Lenin was also Jewish. And in this case, of course, nobody's going to mention their names, and they will try to keep these two figures well undercover because they don't want people to know about them. Because, by the way, somebody once said, I can't remember exactly who was that said this, he said that by the time Hitler had his 1,000 people murdered, Stalin had his 5 million. And not to forget the fact that Stalin was responsible for the famine in Ukraine that killed over 30 million Russians. Brutal famine,
yes.
Like nobody
yes.
has ever seen before. These people were psychopaths, murderous psychopaths. And Yagoda and Mikhail Kaganovich, they were the executioners. Everybody knew that. Kaganovich ended up being executed himself. He committed a great crime of not obeying his master, and he ended up with a bullet in the back of the head. And the second thing I was going to talk about is the malware. Why is it that this malware never hits government databases like state and federal prisons, local jails, county jails, the FBI, the CIA? How come they seem to be immune to this kind of stuff? Maybe it's because it's them who are doing it? Your comment.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that. There's something, completely ridiculous about all these government agencies who are given all this money to basically defend our IT infrastructure, and they're nowhere to be found. Cybercrime is running rampant. It's open season on ordinary American people for their data, their money, their privacy, and it's really no way to live. Anyway, Mike, thank you very much for the information. We're coming up on a commercial break. I'm going to take Tony in Puerto Rico. I may have to take you through the commercial break. What's on your mind?
Okay. You can take me through the commercial break. No problem. I'll wait.
Okay. Well, fine. Then getting on back to the news here. Apparently, there is a new experimental astro litter picker, and it's going to be launched into space next week to try and deal with the 7,600 tons of space junk, one piece of space junk at a time. And apparently it's a very small spacecraft designed by Surrey University, which can grab space junk, then pull it into Earth's atmosphere where it is burned up, like we saw with the Chinese Tiangong-1 last night. And the little craft is called Remove Debris, and it's going to be on board one of Elon Musk's SpaceX Falcon 9 rockets. We're going to take a break for commercials. Back with Tony in Puerto Rico in the end of our show after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our program, last segment of our program for today on this Monday. And we're going to go back to the phones. Tony in Puerto Rico, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was reading an article in regards to Turkey and Israel that Netanyahu and Erdogan are trading blogs. I mean, I don't want to see any of those countries turn into green glass. I mean, who would win in a war between those two countries? What do you think?
Well, obviously, a full-on war between Israel and Turkey, Israel will win because Israel has nuclear weapons and Turkey does not. The whole region is just very, very tense, and you're dealing with cultures that have an historical characteristic of not backing down, even when common sense says that they ought to. Everybody is dealing with border incursions. Everybody's thumping their chests. Netanyahu is still trying to find a way to distract everybody from his corruption charges. The whole area is a tinderbox, and it's going to take just one match, and it's all going to be up in flames all the way from Israel itself all the way out to Iran.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of with Israel starting it. Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to close the phone lines here and go back and recap some of the stories that we were looking at earlier today. This morning's drop on the stock market, this was the start of the second quarter, and this is the worst second quarter start since the Great Depression of the 1930s. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. I'm sure the plunge protection team is going to be in there trying to get that market back up again. Somebody was certainly doing that toward the end of the day. It was down more than 700, closed down 400. The activity seemed to be nothing but buy. And Malaysia has outlawed fake news with jail terms of up to 6 years. And, of course, the government gets to decide what is fake news and what is not. It does feel like dictatorship is just clamping down all over the world. It's almost like the attitude of governments is, we gave you the right to freedom of speech. We didn't think you'd be so impolite as to actually use it. We thought you had more sense than that. Now, over at Remington, they have gone into bankruptcy. And as a result, two lawsuits have now been put on hold. One is filed by the families of the Sandy Hook shooting victims, which is a bogus lawsuit. The other one, of course, is a class action lawsuit over that defective trigger design where the guns could accidentally discharge. And yeah, Remington ought to be held to account for that one. But now that they're in Chapter 11 bankruptcy, these cases are both on hold. Automatic stays have been triggered. Meanwhile, as a final reminder of who the aggressor in this world is, the U.S. now has special forces in 149 countries. We only have ambassadors in 144. So that does indicate war over peace. Okay, there's the music. Time for me to get on out of here. I got stuff I got to do this afternoon. Stay tuned for John Stadmiller. I'm sure he's got lots of interesting things to share with you. Please take what you learn here. Share it with everyone that you know. Talk to people. Email people. Stay off that corporate social media. They're filtering everything out there. They don't want the truth to get on out there because they realize the American people are waking up. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.